Okay, you're listening to Live from Mount Sinai on the TalkWarrior.com radio network. This is Moshe. We have Riz here with us today.
Hey, everybody.
How you doing, Riz?
Doing good.
Okay. We are broadcasting live. Today is Sunday, September 19th. Year is 2004. The time is 7 o'clock Pacific time. You can call in later. This is a live show.
But give the number now so they can write it down.
Yeah, okay, right. It's 415-738-0689. 415-738-0689. Now,
Hey, Moses.
Okay, we just... Every show I have to check to see if the file is recording. I'm trying to do like two things at one time, and it's giving me a fucking nervous breakdown. But let's, this recording, we're cool.
Moses, I got to tell you something.
Yeah.
I don't mean to throw you off your game.
Yeah.
But I'm getting an IM from a friend of mine in Canada that wants to hear our show because he knows that it's big, he knows it's good.
Yeah.
And he's sending me this IM and he's saying... He's saying, it says broadcasting live, but I can't hear shit now. All of my buttons are disabled.
Ask him again in 5 minutes. We'll try to get to the bottom of that. I can't worry about that now.
Okay,
we're going to move on.
Okay, let's move on.
Keep asking the question.
Yeah.
All right. This is part one of the Moshe's Bears His Soul show, part one of a two-part series. We'll have part two next week. Later on in this show, we're going to move on to more important topics, such as the atrocities committed by the United States Army against the people of Iraq. But for now, we're just going to, you know, this is just shit for the masses to just hook them in, and I'm burying my soul. I'd like to talk about an internet girlfriend I used to have. For the men in the world, that's funny, but for like pathetic people like being me, it's normal.
Hey, Moses, my friend just asked me, is Iraq the topic? An internet girlfriend. He's on.
Okay, all right.
He's with us. We know that there's at least one human being
out
there.
Now, her name is Jane, my internet girlfriend, and we were seriously talking about her coming to visit me in Boston. She lives in the UK. But she stopped talking to me about 6 months ago. I never knew why. She was always, like, very polite about it, you know. She would just, you know, I said, you know, why don't you, what's the deal? I thought, you know, we were having this relationship here, and she would say something very polite. You know, in the UK, the British are very polite people. In the UK, if you wanted, for example, to call someone a dirty, rotten cocksucker, you probably have to phrase it like this, like you're the loveliest person I've ever met, and that probably means like you're a dirty, rotten cocksucker. And you have to.
Do you know that Hemingway covers this in The Sun Also Rises? He actually has like page after page about the English and their language and the way they insult one another.
See, we're on the same wavelength.
You're on the wavelength, and I only know that because I happen to be rereading.
Just call me Hem.
Okay, Hem.
How about Hemi? Maybe I should change my name from Moses. The Hemi. Okay. Now, so out of the blue, I get this angry email from Jane. You know, and you know, unlike some people I know whose names start with Riz, who share my personal email to them with their shrink. I actually asked Jane for her permission to divulge her email on the air, and it was granted. And I'd like to share Jane's email on the air, if I could find, here it is. Almost had a slight fucking anxiety attack. This is what wine is for. I can't do this show sober. I just
that's
can't.
Wine? You getting ripped?
I'm drinking wine.
You're fired up.
You know, like Sammy Hagar, I can't drive 55. I can't do talk, you know, a radio sober. It's just not possible. But anyway, this is her letter. This is Jane. Moisha, I'm totally disgusted by the comments you made about Pee Wee Herman's, quote, right, unquote, to look at child porn. Don't you know about a small thing called supply and demand? Paul Rubin, and for those listeners who don't know Paul Rubin, Rubin is Pee Wee Herman. That's the actor who plays Pee Wee Herman. Paul Rubin's, quote, rights, unquote, don't include the raping of children. I'm not totally convinced someone like you actually believes this, and whether you said it for shock value or to be controversial. I don't know. If so, it was very distasteful. Jane. Okay. Now, this email just comes out of the blue. She hadn't talked to me for like 6 months, and then you know, immediately after, I sent her an email to respond, and I get on the IM, and I learn like she's been listening to the show for like since it started. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that anyone was listening to the show. Are you still alive?
Me? Yeah, I'm just okay. I'm just stunned.
Just making sure you're still breathing.
I can't wait for my chance because you just dropped some junk and I get to reply. But
Go ahead. If you have something to say, that's what...
One, I'm not in therapy. I haven't been in therapy for like 7 years. I don't even remember reading any kind of letter of yours to a therapist.
You don't remember the World War II, the great battle of 1998?
That was World War One, dude.
It was a huge war that we had, and it all started when you thought that I had insulted your vocational... aspiration.
Oh my God!
We're gonna get
okay.
to we're gonna
right,
do this
okay.
on another
I
show.
Know.
I don't
okay,
want to
some other time.
I don't want to get
okay.
hung up.
All right.
I mean, okay.
Hey, wait! I'm getting a message that the phone number that you just gave out isn't working. Is it 415-738-86?
No. It's 0689. Don't call. Don't call yet. Tell him not to call yet.
He can hear you.
Oh, good.
It's 0689.
Yes. You know something? I'll tell you what, listeners. Go to talkwar.com.
And you know what just occurred to me?
Yeah.
I think this could be big. Because if Jane's listening right now, and you said that she lives in England, right?
No, she doesn't live in England. She lives in...
say in case they want to stalk her or something.
Well, she lives in
she
the
lives
UK.
Across the pond.
She lives in the UK.
Let's just say across the pond.
Yeah.
She lives across the pond, but what if she IM'd you right now? What if people could IM your ass?
Yeah, I was... Look...
That sounds great.
No, some people do that, but that's why I got a phone, because I wanted, like, it's... I got a hold. That's why I got all this technology.
That's right, so that they can call in.
It's much better.
You're right. If we can hear their voices, if we can make them cry, dude, that wouldn't that be great?
I got a call now. I don't want to take this.
Take it. Take the call.
Fuck. All right.
This is
bold.
Okay, I'll talk.
Hold. Hello.
Am I back?
Hey, Ben.
You are on the air. How you doing?
How you doing? It's me.
Who is me?
It's Bill.
Bill. I don't know you, Bill. But how you doing?
Bill. Because we used to fuck each other, so I was gonna talk on the show.
Right. Did you fuck me or did I fuck you? I don't remember.
Hey, this show, it's Riz. It's Riz,
oh,
Bill. That's my name.
Please turn off your radio because we're getting feedback.
Dude, you know you've always been wanting to say that. You've always wanted to say to somebody, please turn off your radio.
I've been wanting to say that since I was 5 years old.
What's that?
Please turn off your radio because we're getting feedback. Liz.
I talked to Numbnuts before. He said, no, you gotta listen on the fucking computer and you gotta talk on the phone. I thought that was dumb. But he says shit to fuck me up all the time. So maybe he was just messing with me.
Oh, no, I didn't. You can hear on the phone. You know, it's just like a regular phone.
It's kind of
from Canada,
like,
so you need to be really, really clear with him.
Okay, so I'm Bill then, and you're Riz.
Bill, but what I want to hear about, the 9/11 conspiracy.
Yeah, I'm not an expert on the 9/11 conspiracy. I'm just, you know, one of these little, you know, people out there. Just, you know, I just hear shit. I got my ear to the ground, but, I mean, I can't spell the thing out for you. It's all there on the Internet. You can go on anybody who's got half a mind at all and go and, you know, see what's really going on.
So you think that there were explosive charges set in and that's the reason that the buildings fell straight down?
Oh, no, that's minor. I mean, I don't care about that. I mean, whether there were explosive charges set or not, that's absolutely beside the point. I've seen video that allegedly shows that there was, and I mean, that's got nothing to do with it. Because,
I don't want to hijack Moses' show, and he's bearing his soul tonight because of this woman named Jane. That's his girlfriend.
Yeah, I know. I just heard that. But see, here's my problem before we go much further.
Go ahead.
And I checked it out, but then I also had, like, a bunch of beer, right? So I've been ready to do this show for about 3 hours now, and now I'm almost ready for bed. So I gotta get my thing in here and then get going.
What time zone are you in?
I'm in the Utah time zone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that because you're my gay lover?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Here in Utah. You're my gay Mormon missionary lover, aren't you?
That's me, man. Hold on, I got a kid here. Just go on and talk about 9/11 a bit. I'll deal with this shit.
Okay.
You're supposed to talk about 9/11 now?
No. Oh, God, he's insane about 9/11.
Well, no.
I don't want to talk about it.
I wasn't up for 9/11 or anything. I would have had notes here. I would have had, you look at somebody who's had sex with George Bush when he was a teenager, and that's me. And,
Bill, I want to know about these things. I really do. Because I am looking for people that have had sex with George Bush. Okay?
That's what you asked that on last week's show, didn't you?
It's like me in a picture of him.
If you could furnish that, that's the kind of information we need.
Yeah, it is. Tell us a little bit about Jane, because maybe she's listening right now.
She's definitely listening. We need evidence.
I need evidence to support that Jane's your girlfriend. Jane, call in.
Okay. Now, all right. So, I'm the IM with Jane. And, and she thinks like I'm some kind of child porn fiend, like I got porn stacked up in my apartment wall to wall. You know,
you defended Pee-wee, did you? I didn't hear that.
Yes, I was defending Pee-wee Herman. Now, I didn't want to make it clear. Pee-wee Herman, I was defending his civil liberties. Pee-wee Herman did not get convicted for rape. Okay, he was convicted for possession of child pornography, and the federal government used illegal tactics to gain his personal information. They violated his right to privacy.
Is he going to jail?
I don't know. No, I think he probably got probation. Yeah, and then he has to register with the child sex offender.
Wasn't the great Jeffrey Jones involved in that too somehow?
I don't know Jeffrey Jones.
He's an actor. He's got a really big nose.
I don't know.
Remember Ferris Bueller's Day Off? And
he also got convicted of the same thing. Yeah.
That makes me sad because he was one of my my character actors that, you know, I really admired. And,
who did he play in Ferris Bueller? Was he the principal in Ferris Bueller?
Yeah.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
Those two guys are like hanging out, fucking jerking off the child porn?
Yeah, exactly.
That's pretty sad, eh?
That is so sad.
It is.
God, you'd think they would just, like, snort coke or shoot heroin. Anything would be better than doing that.
Also, Pete Townsend.
You know what? He used to be my hero. And
Roger Daltrey, the bassist. I get him mixed up.
Wasn't John Entwistle was the bassist, and he died at cocaine and
No. Roger Entwistle. He's the guy with the funny nose.
Yes, it is very funny.
It was Townsend. Townsend tried to claim that he was
researching for a project.
So he said that's why he was, downloading it. You know, that kind of stuff. Like, I came out of a vagina once, so I download a lot of pictures of those.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, okay. So what? I'm trying to tell Jane.
Oh, man.
Hello? I'm lost. Bill?
Hello?
Bill, I think it's just you and I.
I just got, like, my phone went dead, or who went dead?
Yeah, I think Moses went dead. I don't know if you and I are being recorded, and Moses isn't.
Well, just in case we're still on the air, let's not mention those giant cases of child porn that we've ordered.
For Moses. Moses is at the center of a huge ring.
Well, maybe you should turn your radio.
Hello?
Were we broadcasting?
Hold on. He's still on. I lost you. I had to switch over to line one. I lost line two.
Oh, we lost him?
Yeah.
It was probably costing him major money. Are you and I still broadcasting?
Yeah. We're still broadcasting. I don't know what happened to my line during that. Something, we had some kind of technical fuck-up.
Now, would you hear what he and I were saying?
Yeah, I did hear you.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. But for some reason, my my output wasn't transmitting out. Sam and I am, and just say we didn't. We just had a technical fuck-up. We didn't mean to.
Well, he's probably still listening.
Yeah. No, because I told him to shut the radio.
I'm getting an IM right now.
Yeah. I wish he had called, like, if I just wanted to finish the segment, that's all. If he had called, like 10 minutes later, you know, it would have been good. I hope he calls again. It was good to get a caller.
Wasn't that fun? That was really fun. I'm sorry it threw you off, you're saying, but I let him know about the show, and he's been listening.
Tell him that I liked having him on, and he's welcome to come on anytime he wants. I didn't tell him we had a technical fuck-up. I didn't mean to throw him off. Okay. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I'm hearing an echo. So, I told Jane that she should voice her outrage on my show. You know, this is why I have the show. You know, I told her that I'd pay for the toll call. And, you know, she didn't flatly, you know, say no. Because, you know, she's British. She says maybe. Yeah, you know, in the UK, that's like a polite way of saying go to hell. You know, because they're very polite in the UK. Things cooled down a little bit, and I'm asking her about her wife. You know,
okay.
I'm just trying to shoot the shit with her, and we're talking about her getting laid off because she works at this factory, and you know the poor girl's getting laid off. And, you know, even...
Wow, what kind of factory did Jane work at?
You know something? I don't want to give that.
Okay, you're right.
And she's still, like, really, like, wiggy. She was, like, really wiggy with me. She's, like, really angry. I'm trying to settle her down. And it's like, and I'm saying, well, will you be okay economically and all that? And she says, oh... I was concerned about her because she had got promoted and she went to ask me, do you think I should take this promotion? And I sort of encouraged her, not like, I didn't say take it, but I was sort of like encouraging her. And And so I was like, I felt like guilty, like maybe I got her, maybe if I didn't help her to get promoted, she would have gotten fired. You know, she wouldn't have gotten laid off, but the whole company got laid off. And then she started telling me, she says, oh, no, you weren't responsible. They fired everyone. But, and then she starts telling me about some kind of payout or something. I don't know what she's talking about. And it's like we're having like a semantic problem.
Okay.
You know, because
you're using the IM. The IM is notoriously shitty for communicating.
It's that, but it's also she is, they still have like the vestiges of the socialism in the UK. And they use words. It's like, for example, we took like 15 minutes trying to figure out what the fuck each other is talking about. I didn't understand because apparently she got a big sum of money when she got laid off.
Okay.
And had
it's called samurai. Right?
Yeah, but in the UK it's something very different. It's a different word.
I wish they spoke English in the UK, don't you?
Well, I'm saying we're having semantic problems. She says, oh, no, we're not having a semantic problem. She's like blaming me. It's getting wiggy. You know?
So she's accusing you of being a moron.
No, she's just angry at me.
Okay.
She's not accusing me of being a moron. An asshole, maybe, but or like a guy that like endorses child porn, which I don't. In fact,
can I make a statement right here?
You go on.
Jane, if you're listening, I've known Moses going on a decade now. Are we going on a decade?
Yeah. I was. Let me think. I was 29 when I first met you.
Were you really? That's old.
Yeah, and I'm almost 39.
We're heading on a decade, and while I do know some really sickening and disgusting facts about this guy,
like my blow-up dolls.
Sad, dude. And you know you're not even talking about the real thing, and I'm not going to mention it. I'll never hear the fucking end of it.
I'm pathetic, but I'm not.
Fucking sick. Can I talk about that one toy?
You know, we could devote a whole show
to that. But, Jane, I'm just saying, I know some shit about this guy, and none of it. He hides nothing, I don't believe.
Yeah.
And it's never about anything about child pornography. He and I are not really deviants. We're just normal people, you know? So there.
Yeah, and what he's talking about is a male masturbation toy. We're gonna get to.
You got some gifts of it. They got so many pictures of his fucking joy toy.
You know something? When I bought that toy, I was under some kind. I don't
medication?
Remember. It was an opiate because they stuck a tube up my ass. Okay, this is like post surgery. I can't hear you.
Sorry.
You know,
they stuck a tube up your ass.
Any
radio show that's got the phrase "they stuck a tube up my ass" is a good radio program.
But that's literally what they did. They shoved that thing so far up it was practically coming out of my mouth. I mean, and they gave me like some. It was something.
Did you get online and buy the fleshlight?
Well, yeah.
But it's a relationship.
I'll tell you what I did.
Did they stick something up your ass?
I'll tell you what I did. It was some type of opiate. I don't remember. It was major tranquilizer, all right? And it's sort of, you know, you don't even remember that. You don't remember the surgery.
I don't.
Surgery.
You told me about the
it's
surgery.
Not surgery. It's a procedure.
I think you were ashamed to tell me that they had, given you an anal probe.
I'm not ashamed about anything.
Okay.
I'm the guy that talks about, you know, nose herpes.
That was really gross, dude. I don't want to hear about it anymore.
I do not have nose herpes, by the way. I was, in fact, checked out by a doctor. I don't even have the bacteria anymore. So.
Okay. That was old news. Old news, baby.
Okay. You don't want to, I know you don't like to talk about
that. I don't like
that.
I really don't. I can talk about people shoving stuff up your ass all day long.
Let's move on.
No. We're talking to Jane. What were you saying? You were talking about Jane.
And she's on the IM. And she was like a real meanie. It's like, you ever watch the Yellow Submarine?
Yes, the blue meanie.
Yeah. She was like a blue meanie. She was just mean. She had meanie-itis. She had meanie-itis. It was a lot of meanie stuff. But anyways, at the end of the conversation, I sent her, like, love you. It was a typical sign-off.
For you guys, because you're boyfriend, girlfriend.
Yeah. What we used to be. Apparently not anymore. Okay. And she refused to return the love.
Did she send you some naked pictures of herself?
No.
I don't think you're an internet boyfriend, girlfriend, unless they send you the naked pictures.
No. That never, ever happened. Hold on. This is dead air, sorry.
Horrible
nightmare. Okay, a little screwed up. Okay, so anyways, I'm getting to the heart of the story. I had a revelation. Oh, sorry. After I said she didn't return the love, I said to her, could you just do it for all time's sake? And you know what she says to me?
What?
She says, don't be so needy. And I had a revelation when she said that. I had a spiritual experience. I'm not fucking with you.
Okay, I hear you.
Another woman had called me needy nearly 10 years earlier. And it's like deja vu. I've been aware of my, and I'm bearing my soul. This is the bearing my soul episode, so this is why I'm going this. I normally don't do this.
So basically you're asking, like, are you a pathetic, needy loser?
I've known that for years.
All right, I'm with you.
And, I've known that I've been needy all my life. I'm needy. But it's like a catch 22.
Right, what do you do?
The more lonely and needy you get, the more difficult it becomes to fake your neediness.
To fake your neediness?
Yes, so you're trying to fake that you're not needy.
Oh, okay, fake your stability then.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. And it's a catch 22, and the more needy you get, the harder it becomes. And,
Okay, so wait a second. I'm curious. Did you have sex with Jane?
There's some things that, that are just private between a man and a woman.
I hear you.
It's not only you, it's like everyone asks me that.
Right.
And it's like, if you wouldn't ask someone's, if they're, let's say I wouldn't ask you, have you ever, had sex with your wife? Because it's just something you don't ask. It's personal.
Actually, it's a pretty foregone conclusion.
Well,
we've been together for 15 years. You can guess that we may have done it a couple times.
Especially
we have a baby, right? It's a dead giveaway.
Okay.
So I don't think it's kind of an analogy.
Yeah,
I think it's active
these days, and I don't want to talk.
All right.
Okay. You're very sensitive, so I worry about insulting you.
She was hot, right?
Who, Jane?
Jane. She's fucking hot, dude.
I've only seen a very hazy photo of her. I could barely make her out. In fact, you've seen it too. You knew Jane.
She's hot.
You saw the same thing. In fact, I think
she
you
has long
got
brown
the
hair.
What?
She has long brown hair, dude.
I could barely see her.
She was hot. Dude, I put it into fireworks or what is that? Fire. Anyway, that graphic.
The fire thing.
Yeah, and I lifted it, and she's hot.
Well, I don't doubt it.
Okay.
She certainly had the potential. I know where neediness comes from. It doesn't start with girls. It started with boys. Nobody wanted to play with me as a child and be my friend. So you just become desperate and lonely and pathetic. Loser children end up either being compulsively masturbating nerds in prison.
You went through that.
Or, in my case, doing internet radio. I mean, loser children never become normal. They never outgrow it. But you know, but...
Dude, that is so not true.
Hold on here. You know, when Jane called me needy,
yeah.
You know, this is where I had a spiritual experience.
Okay.
Because I felt liberated.
Right.
You know, I felt the way Ari Fleischer called the Iraqis after we beat them into submission. I felt liberated. I did. You know? And I just, after that point, I stopped fighting my neediness. I became one with my neediness.
And your pathetic loserness.
Yes. I embrace it. It's part of me. I can't fight it.
You can't. That's right. Can you relax now?
I feel like putting on the Let It Be Naked album and just listening to Let It Be, you know?
And be, let it be.
Right. That's how I feel.
I think the Rolling Stones did an album called Let It Be Naked or something like that, and the Beatles did the full Let It Be album, I think, just out of the point.
Fuck.
Sorry.
Yeah.
The Rolling Stones were always trying to use an English phrase, to take the piss out of the Beatles. So, but anyway, yeah, it's the Beatles, Let It Be.
I don't care who it
is. Whisper words of wisdom.
Right.
Let it be,
yeah.
Let it be.
So, on the next week's show, we're going to talk about another woman. That's part two of my...
Oh, my God, is that the mustache?
Actually, she had a little bit of a Fu Manchu, too, but that's not her. This is a live woman.
Yeah.
She shunned me. Let me make a correction. She didn't have a Fu Manchu. She probably had like what I guess you would phrase as a Jewish mustache or something.
Yeah.
She's got the Mediterranean thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Like him. Like him.
Okay, this is why I like the Shiksas. But anyways,
less hair on the Shiksas. Less hair.
I gotta move on. We're getting bogged down.
Is it Devane now?
Let's not call her Devane. Let's call her the woman that called me an Eeyore.
It is Devane. Okay,
fuck it.
She's Devane.
Okay, you know, and you know, we're gonna talk about the most humiliating rejection that anyone has ever received in their life.
It's pretty good. It's really good. That was a good one. I'd like to give my impression of it, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to give it now?
No, next week. Next week. We have to do this twice. When do I get to interview the cheerleaders and the vagina girl?
Oh, you know what? Okay, we're going to talk about vagina girl right now while we're on it. Because, you know, I just want to, you know, tell my listeners how, you know, I don't understand why you would want to interview someone like that. Now, I'm going to give you the URL for her website.
Which one?
Okay.
Vagina Girl?
Yeah, the one we call Vagina Girl. It is sexy, excuse me.
I'm typing it in because I don't even know it.
Okay, sexy atheist.
No, www.
Starting out with HTTP, /. Sorry, thank you.
sexyatheist.diaryland.com/vaginawoes.html.
Now, I don't, you know, I like to read you just the first few sentences here. You know, and here, hold on.
She's great. She's my hero.
It starts out with this. You know, here's the topic of, it's a blog, and she starts out with, my not-so-beautiful vagina. And she says, I wish I had a beautiful vagina. I have had the luxury of seeing hundreds of vaginas in my life, very few in a sexual situation. And here, page two, she says, I have beautiful tits. Long-time readers have already heard this, but new people might not know. They are the part of my body I am most proud of, and that get complimented second most. Now, Riz, I have a beautiful penis, okay? Anyone who's ever had sex sex with me knows that. But I don't dedicate my whole blog to it. I don't talk about it endlessly. I mean, I don't understand. What do you see in this dirty shiksa? What is it?
Juan, do you notice the graphic over on the right?
I don't have it. I'm just looking at a copy of this thing right
now. Okay, well, Juan, if that's her on the right there, pretty lady. Okay, I'll just say that. She writes, may I read a little bit of this? May I, please? I'll just share some.
Go on.
What are we seeing in her? She writes, I wish I had a beautiful vagina. I've had the luxury of seeing hundreds of vaginas in my life. Very few in a... You just read this, didn't you? Scores in strip clubs and easily hundreds.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know. I love her. She
Why would you want to have a person like that on the show? What does it do for mankind?
Because she talks frankly about the reality of what a magnet that part of the other gender's body is. She's being honest about it.
Dude, this is not the man show.
I know.
And I want to just tell my audience I had a request from Riz to do this, and I say to him. Who gives a shit about her lousy vagina? This is in an email. Is it really that important in the grand scheme of things? And he says, not to a gay man, I suppose. I completely understand. Forget I ever mentioned it.
Right, we were doing that, right?
Yeah. You know, I mean, she made me gay just because I don't like nasty shiksas. I mean, I don't understand.
Listen to what she says in her most current one, which is like...
I don't read her blog.
But just listen to this. My boyfriend wants naked pictures of me. So here's the thing. He's one of my best friends. Top three, absolutely. I would 100% trust my best friends with naked pictures of me. I don't know why they'd want one, but I wouldn't hesitate. It's good writing. She writes about real stuff.
Dude, if you could come up with a compelling reason, how does it advance the cause of humanity? Okay? Or how does it make really shocking radio that doesn't sound like Howard Stern?
I know. Listen, I don't want anything to sound like Howard Stern, but I just think...
I mean, I'm the king of all Jews, not the king of all media. Let's just get that straight. This is a Jewish show, and
You don't talk to the shiksas.
No, we talk to them, but we don't endorse this kind of nastiness.
Why? I don't even understand this thing about... saying this is nasty.
She's a dirty shiksa. I don't know why you want to have anything to do with her.
Do you know what?
It's not interesting.
I asked my real Jewish friends to listen to the show tonight. Yeah. I did. I swear I hope they're listening to you.
It's just not interesting.
All right, let's move on. I will find better reason. She'll be calling in.
Okay. You know what? I want to take a break.
The accusations.
I want to take a break. I want to play the... If that's all right, I want to play the PSA.
Good.
I just need to take a break. We will be back in 2 minutes and 40 seconds. I'm doing the playlist. Okay.
The people of Iraq, I would like to apologize for ruining your lives, for bringing you misery, for exploiting you. I would like to apologize for attacking your once sovereign nation without any provocation whatsoever. I would like to apologize for all the civilians our bombs and our soldiers have killed. I want to apologize to all the children that no longer have mothers, fathers, arms, legs, ears, noses, eyes have been mutilated by burns because of my government's barbaric brutality against your country. I also want to express my apologies to the families of all the Iraqi soldiers who were killed and to all the Iraqi soldiers who were injured and maimed. I want to apologize to the Iraqi soldiers that have been tortured, brutalized, and humiliated in our political prisons. I want to apologize for leaving you without power for months and for destroying the great artifacts of your ancient cultural heritage. I want to apologize for destroying your businesses, your homes, your schools, your mosques, your nurseries, even destroying and slaughtering you at your weddings. I want to apologize for censoring your press, for taking away your freedom of speech, and attempting to crush your will. Lastly, I want to apologize for kidnapping your leader and trying him in a court where the judges are not appointed by democratically elected officials of Iraq, but by the governing power of our empire. I know that this apology cannot bring back your dead, cannot regrow your limbs, or unburn the skin of Iraqi babies. It cannot unwreck your lives or unviolate your country, but it is all that I can offer. I am sorry. I take full responsibility for not doing more to prevent the heinous actions of my fellow citizens. I cannot speak on behalf of the God of the Gentile, but I can tell you that my God, the God of my original father Abraham, the God of Moses and David, would never approve of such heinous acts perpetrated against innocent people.
Okay, hold on. All right, we are back on the air, hopefully, God willing. All right, I just want to make an announcement that we are going to be getting the best composer in a living composer in the United States that will be doing the music of our show. His name is John Truby. We're gonna.
Did you send John an email about the show? Is he listening tonight?
Yeah, I told him.
Oh, fantastic!
Yeah, and I'm not just saying this to like be nice. When I really mean it, he is the best living composer in the United States.
Oh, he's fantastic.
He is.
Don't take
my word for it. We're going to start playing some music during the break. We're not.
You have something?
No, he's going to send me some stuff.
Don, get the MP3s over here because, honest to goodness.
They are on the way.
I can talk. Listen, everybody. I got to tell you, yes, he's a brilliant composer, but his lyrics are also hysterical. One that I always think of whenever I see assholes, I always think of a John Truby song that goes, "Your stupid friends hang on the corner, wasting away their lives." And I feel totally intimidated even trying to do it with, thinking that he might hear me do it. It's just hysterical stuff, though.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
And instead of the PSAs, we're going to do Truby during the break. We can do some Truby as the theme music. I'm thinking about doing some Truby at the very end. It's going to be great. We're also going to go to 32-bit MP3. So we're going to
Are you bumping up the amount of money MP3 that you're spending on your radio?
No. I'm just going to broadcast at a higher bit rate, so the better sound quality, so we can hear the music. So people on using really slow modems will have some trouble. People on 56K modems should be okay.
Nobody uses anything lower than 56 now. They cost $5.
Hopefully.
I can't wait. John, call the number. Say the number. Let's see if John will
call. Thank you. 415-738-0689. That is 415-738-0689. That might even be is that a local call for Truby?
No, it's a county away, but
oh, that's too bad. Too bad. All right.
Dude, it's going to be great to talk to you. I haven't talked to you in ages, man. Okay.
Okay. Now, I just want to also say, not only is Jane probably listening to him, to me, also, Petsuk, I want to send some love out to him. I know he's listening to me. He's somewhere in Asia. We won't give any specifics to protect his confidentiality.
Have you been in email touch with him?
Yeah, he emailed me once.
And you know what? I just realized I just got an email from him. I'd sent him an email like a month and a half ago, and I finally got something from him. But he's like, he tours around for a major international organization. Mm-hmm. You probably know that, right?
Whatever I know, I forget very quickly.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, my father is probably listening too. because he's just got a sound card fixed, it was fucked up.
He should call in and tell us about Monkey House.
No, and you know why?
Did he read Monkey House?
Yeah, he read it.
Did he love it?
Yeah, he thought it was good. And also the Royal Court Theater, the best theater
in the world,
also thought it was. They had good things to say about it.
I told Bill about it, and he said he wants to read it. That's what I thought that he was going to talk about tonight.
Yeah, Bill could call next. Let's get him next week.
You know what we could do? Oh, my gosh, Moses. We could do a reading of Monkey House on the radio program.
No, I don't
want to
read it.
Oh, that'd be great. I would do it.
Yeah.
I could act it.
I don't know. Let me think.
It could be drama. It could be radio drama.
Yeah, it's one.
Dude, you're on page 13 of the talk thing over there at Live 365. I think if we read Monkey House, if I did it, I could do it with a dramatic flair that you know, unmatched.
It was really meant to be played by me. I don't think I want to do it. But we'll think about that. But anyway.
I only volunteer because of your voice, you know.
Thank you.
Okay.
We'll think about it, okay?
It needs somebody with a high-pitched, girly sound and voice.
No.
Like me.
It needs someone with an ER-esque voice.
Okay.
A needy sounding voice. About my father, I really don't feel comfortable with him listening to the show. And I'm going to tell you why. I remember I was at camp, and we put on this show, and I had this routine, and my father, you know, all the parents came. It was on the last day, and they came to see the show.
He said something vicious, didn't he?
And my father, he said to me afterwards, and I'll never forget this. He said, I believe this is a quote. It might not be a quote, but it's very close to a quote if it's not a quote. He said, quote, a lot of people thought you were very funny, but I didn't think you were funny, unquote. Now, you know, some things you don't forget. This sort of left a mark on me. Dad, I'd appreciate it if you didn't listen to my show anymore, because I don't really need the negativity. I'm beyond that.
That's negativity going back 20 some years.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, and you know, I'm like a real fuck. I'm a real like fuck up in life. You know, I'm like unemployed. I'm needy. You know, and it's like, where does all this come from? Some of it might come from being like a blue baby, you know. We talked about it on the last show, my brain is sort of screwed up, but I'm like twice as smart as the average person. You know, you'd think that my brains would compensate, but you know, I just feel like a fucking loser, you know, and there's a reason for that. I believe, you know, I'm not going to blame my father. I accept full responsibility for my failure. But, you know, shit like this is just bad parenting.
Isn't some of your loserness splashing off on me?
What do you mean?
I mean, if here I am associated with, if you really think you're such a big loser, then that means that people associate with you are big losers, and I'm one of them. I don't know. All these revelations are new to me. I always thought that you had...
No, you got the woman. You got a beautiful wife. As far as I'm concerned, you're a winner. You know, you wrote a great book. You know, maybe you haven't gotten it published with the right person, but you're a winner.
Okay.
I'd like to make some corrections.
You know, external stuff does not make us winners. What makes us winners is how we feel when we look in the mirror, baby.
Yeah, but when your father, you know...
Let's trade father stories. May I?
Sure, go ahead.
And I feel great about myself. Yes, I'm doing the career that
I really love. That's what this feels all about.
I wake up every day fucking happy to go to my J-O-B. It's not even a J-O-B. I love it. I teach college. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I've mentioned that before. I love it. It's great. It's, you know, it's fantastic. But what I was talking about, so this didn't kill me, but it could have. Listen to this. And this is, one, every day of my life, growing up, from the time that I was about 8, my dad used to call me a dirty little rotten son of a bitch who couldn't pour piss out of a boot with the instructions on the heel.
Mm.
And he obviously didn't use that kind. You know that, though. That's in Dog's Days, right? You've heard that, right? Actually, this other story I'm about to tell is also in the book. But I'm going to tell it. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Your thing, like, some people found that funny, but I didn't, is bad. I, never in my life have I been encouraged to do anything. I've never been allowed to mow the lawn because I'll, chop your goddamn foot off, you dirty little rotten son of a bitch. You can't do anything right.
Mm-hmm.
You fucker. You know, all this stuff. Every day it's like this. So finally, I go to junior high,
yeah.
and they put me in with the band geeks for some reason. I didn't even get a choice. None of the really, really smart kids were in there. It was like just the kind of okay kids, you know?
No, really. I don't know. I was like the total outcast. I don't know about the whole high school scene.
You know, I should have been with all the really, really smart kids, but I was with like the okay kids, all the fucking clean kids. But not the super smart. Anyway, this was seventh grade. And in the seventh grade, so they hand me the French horn. I don't remember why I wanted to play it. But I did. It was big. It was circular. And you put your hand up the bell or, you know, whatever. And so I go home one day. It's like 2 weeks into the semester. I've never liked doing anything in my life. And I have now taught myself or learned. May I had a little lamb. Because like, you know, right?
Yeah.
Whatever, I don't have an ear.
Right.
You hear me, right?
Right.
So I go in to play that, though. And for me to be able to do something coherent with this huge inanimate piece of metal, I have brought something coherent to it, you know, by itself.
Yeah.
Paperweight. Me, fucking Mary had a little lamb. Are you with me with the satisfaction that the seventh grader feels?
Mm-hmm.
I play it for my dad.
Yeah.
First words out of his mouth?
Yeah.
Moses says, Dad, listen to this. Feel better.
Yeah.
This is what my dad says.
Yeah.
First words out of his mouth, he says, well, you'll never be as good as those niggers on the street corner.
Yeah.
That's what he says. You'll never be as good a musician as those niggers on the street corner.
Sounded like a nice guy.
Wasn't he nice?
I don't know what to tell you.
See? So what are you thinking? Yeah, I mean, why are you carrying that? Did your dad ever call you a dirty little rotten son of a bitch who couldn't pour piss out of a boot with the instructions on the heel?
No, he wasn't like that.
See, he wasn't mean. He was a nice dad.
Yeah, it was
I guess we all have regrets.
Party. Yeah.
It was a fucking tea party?
It was like a fucking tea party.
It wasn't, dude, right?
No.
You're lying.
I have some...
He used to tell me he would beat you with a belt.
No, he...
Crap.
I'm not, what?
Didn't you tell me that he strapped your ass with like some kind of sandpaper thing?
No,
the rock
on
the end of it or something?
No, but if he did, I don't want to go there. He didn't do that.
He didn't do that.
I don't want to go into.
But you don't want to do it.
I don't want to go into child abuse.
Okay.
Let's not go there.
All right.
He didn't do that though.
My mom beat me with coat hangers.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Coat hangers. Can I bare my soul?
Sure.
If you're 4 years old and your mom is beating you with a coat hanger, do you know what you will do?
What?
You will curl up into the fetal position because you want to hide the tendons at the backs of your knees.
Right.
Guess what the only place some fucker trying to beat you with a coat hanger wants to hit?
The only place?
The only place.
Your testicles.
No, the tendons at the backs of your knees.
Oh.
The one place that you don't want to be hit by a coat hanger, this woman will hit you with a coat hanger. Are you ready? And so what do I do? She's kicking my legs to make my tendons targetable.
Mm-hmm.
So I put my knuckles over my tendons. And the knuckles take the brunt of the whack.
Right, right, right.
And I'm grateful. I'm grateful because it feels so much better to have your knuckles whacked with a coat hanger than it does to have the back, you know, the tendons at the back of your knees whacked.
You know, as long as we're talking about child abuse.
Yeah.
As long as I'm talking to the whole fucking world.
Okay.
You know, and we're like totally off the topic. Fuck it. I'm just going to.
I'm sorry.
I'm just going to go for it. I'm just going to say, you know, I remember when I was like four and my mother used to step on me. And it used to scare the shit out of me.
Would she stomp you like a. Like
no,
you
just
she'd
just get on top of me and it would force all the air out of my lungs.
She was stand upon you?
Yeah. I was like four or five years old.
So
it was one of my earliest memories.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I don't...
My parents are dead. I can say this with impunity.
The statute of limitations are over.
Well, on what?
On the...
Not on the way your mom's going to feel when she, you know, finds out that you're dating her.
She's not listening.
You're asking, I just
thought, fuck it. I'm really, you know, as long as we're doing this, as long as
Let's be honest.
We're having like a psychological, what do you call it?
Encounter group?
Yeah, something like that. We're just letting it all go, you know.
As long as
we're doing that, I said, fuck it, I'm just going to get that off my chest. And this is why I love talk, you know, radio, because we're just bearing our souls to the world.
That's right.
You know, and we're just saying, fuck it. So I don't know if I'll move on. I think this is enough abuse for one show.
Okay, move on.
Well, I never dreamed of getting into this, but anyway, I would like to make some corrections. First of all, on the last show, we discussed how George Bush was a pom-pom boy for Andover Academy. I just want to say, while it is a fact that George Bush was a cheerleader and did go to Andover Academy, I would like to clear up one thing. Technically, the name of the academy, it's of Andover Academy, is Phillips Andover Academy. Anyways, Phillips Andover Academy is not in Maine, as I suggested on the show, on the last show. It is in Massachusetts. So I just wanted to clear that up about the pom-pom boy. As we're talking about Bush being a cheerleader, I think it's a good metaphor for him as a president. While he sends children off to die by the thousands, okay,
and kills tens of thousands,
we can't even. It's
could
not,
be up to 100,000 people.
That's a secret. That's a secret.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You can't ever find out that.
Right. Because the media is not allowed. I don't know if they're not. They're. It's complicit. They're not. It is. Let's just say it's a secret. How many Iraqi civilians have died? But that's a secret. And I think, you know, it's a good metaphor, I think. It's sort of like, you know, George Bush is really cheerleading. And by the way, if you go to the Andover Academy website.
Oh, they feature him, no doubt.
Right. He is, and you look up, go on the history page or something like that, or about Andover Academy, you'll see a photo of him.
In a circle jerk?
You will see a photo of him cheerleading. Anyway, also, there's another correction.
Can I fill in something, too?
Sure.
There's a website called IraqBodyCount.net, IraqBodyCount.net.
IraqBodyCount.net. That's not .com.
Right, that's .net. And it says civilians reported killed by military intervention in Iraq. And then, of course, now it varies widely, but you know what? It's better than not knowing anything at all. And it has the number 12,778 as a minimum and 14,820 as a max. And that's probably because of exhaustive, you know, kind of pulling through news reports and interviews and all kinds of things like that. So, I mean, can I verify the validity of this website? No, you can't verify the validity of anyone. But
because it's all a secret.
Yep.
And because the right-wing media have conspired to conceal this information from the public.
You know, I
in order to appease the right-wing fascist federal government of the United States. Sorry, you just got me going there.
No, I hear you, but also I don't buy into any kind of left-wing media, right-wing media thing. It's just, to, you know, the fucking, talk about people fucking people's bodies.
I believe this is a conspiracy, but that's...
But the corporations are on the people's bodies. They're literally crushing the people like a little four-year-old, you know, in the kitchen underneath foot. I swear.
Okay, I want to, there's one more correction. We're going to get back on Iraq in a minute, but one more correction.
Can you imagine that all the population of this country are so fucking timid, little fucking hypnotized lambs? Just fucking... fucking letting this steamroller kill all these human beings over there.
That's right.
So that George and his fucking cronies can make money.
Yeah.
You know what? In 10 years, I don't care who wins this election. In 10 years, they're all just going to be out of office and sitting on a beach somewhere fucking jacking off with margaritas in one hand.
Any citizen of the United States who is not speaking out against these atrocities is guilty.
It's sad. Well, what can we do?
You are responsible.
Spread the word.
For shutting up about it, you're responsible.
All right.
Anyways.
But has anybody ever listened into the 50-minute mark on our show?
We're really starting to turn the corner. I'm not fucking with you.
We're turning the corner. Just like George Bush.
Dude, no. He says, I have it written down here, hold on. We will stay the course. No, we're having like an average time, listening time of like 12 minutes. I think like that beats Howard Stern. We're doing very well.
An average listening time of 12 minutes?
Yeah.
Dude, people listen to Howard Stern until their asses fall off every day.
No. No, that's not true. And plus, a lot of people that tune in only stay, they just turn right off and turn it right off.
Yeah.
You know, there's a few individuals that really are listening to the show. Jane listens to every damn show.
She's in love with you, man.
No, not anymore.
Women
I
that are in love
you.
With you listen
no.
to the show, dude.
Whatever love, if there was ever love there, it's gone by now. Okay.
I interrupted you. Go on, Tuttle.
No, it's okay. That's what you're here for. I'd like to make another correction. I also neglected to point out last show something about McLean Stevenson guessing Wayne Newton on the last show.
Oh, yeah?
You kept saying to me, where's the catch? What's the punchline? Well, I'm going to get to that. Wayne Newton had said that McLean Stevenson insulted his manhood in that he personally intimidated Stevenson into shutting up. Whether it was by overt force or implied physical force, it wasn't clear. What I forgot to mention on the last show was that we're not able to hear McLean Stevenson's side of the story about what actually transpired because he is dead.
Right.
Okay? I'm not dead yet, though. So I decided to challenge Wayne Newton's manhood. Wayne Newton, you are a slimy, worthless, fat, Republican piece of shit. And I believe you are a woman impersonating a man. So, just accept this fact and move on. Get over it. Stop boasting about intimidating dead men. So, there's my little challenge to Wayne. Now, if he's man enough, we'll see what happens. This is not a threat. I'm not going to fight him. If he wants to challenge me in a contest, like the karate contest or wrestling, or naked Greco-Roman wrestling, I'll do it. I'll do it in a heartbeat. But I'm not going to fight him. I don't fight anyone,
Yeah.
I'm not a violent person. But anyways, unlike Wayne Newton.
Bill fights people. Wayne
Newton. Maybe he can fight Wayne Newton.
No, he does. You know what Bill did?
Yeah, well.
Bill fucking eats raw caribou meat.
Yeah, that must taste pretty gamey.
Yes, no pun intended, right?
Yeah.
So there. I don't know. I use the present tense there. He's at least done it once, though, mm-hmm. And I believe him.
Okay.
So watch out, Wayne Newton, Bill.
Okay. We're going to... How are you doing for time?
I'm good. We can go a little bit if you want to.
Okay. We got one more.
If you think we can keep them.
People who we hooked in are still listening.
Okay.
I assure you, we had listeners last week. We did good.
All right. You know what? I didn't get out a little press release because, just didn't have
That goes to show me how well we're doing.
Yep.
Because you didn't get out. You were angry at me because you felt like I insulted your manhood or something.
I didn't.
All right.
Oh, that. Well, let's not do that again.
Yeah.
All right. You know what a forgiving soul I am? I think you should forgive your father.
I forgive him.
Okay.
But I just don't feel like he should be, I don't want him listening to shows. I don't want to hear any more of this crap.
Okay.
You know, I don't need, you know, the negativity. You know, if he wants to say something, let him say something nice.
I got
or at least constructive.
Yeah.
Just saying it sucks, something sucks, doesn't help a person. Especially when other people found that it was good. You know? Anyway.
You're talking about my comments on that stupid play again, right?
No, I'm talking about my father.
Okay.
When he said...
He didn't say that, though.
No.
Other people thought it was funny, and
no,
I didn't. So saying that I didn't think it was funny, that's not
I know that,
comic.
But
I don't say the comics suck, they just never made me laugh.
I know that, but what my father said was that he did concede that other people found it funny, but he didn't.
Just because he didn't find it funny doesn't mean it's
funny. That's even worse to
awesome.
Say. Okay, moving on. While I was going, my nose herpes makes Riz very nervous. But when I was going to my doctor, actually, to get a second opinion about my nose herpes. I don't have no nose herpes, but anyways, about my...
If any nose herpes.
Yeah, my nasal problems, okay? I picked up a Boston Herald. The Herald is one of the myriad of newspapers owned by billionaire right-wing agitator Rupert Murdoch. You know, normally I wouldn't use this vile rag to wipe my ass with, but I wanted to see what the fascist bastards were up to, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And let me just say, the date of the paper is Monday, September 13th, 2004. On the cover it says, Bloody Sunday in Iraq. Insurgents on a rampage. Now, that's not really true, as I'm going to get to. And the only people on a fucking rampage were the American Army. But, okay, so I turn to where the headline story is, and there's this photo of a man waving a flag by a tank, and the caption reads as follows, quote, out of control, a man hoists a flag on a burning U.S. Bradley fighting vehicle in Baghdad yesterday. Nearly 60 people were killed in escalating violence in Iraq yesterday, unquote. Now, I just want to say at least, and the article didn't discuss how many of these people killed were civilians, but at least, one of these persons were a journalist. Now, you know, this is an example of the American Army willfully killing, civilians. Now, willfully, because the civilians are considered collateral damage. Now, when you lob a missile at a tank in a populated area in the middle of fucking Baghdad, I think it was Baghdad, actually, I don't have the, can't confirm that right now, but it was in a populated area. You know civilians are around, and you know you're going to be killing civilians. You know that when you shoot at that tank, at that object, at that target, you might be killing some of the alleged enemy, okay? But you're also going to take out some civilians in the process.
Yeah.
I mean, this is exactly what the Israelis do when they get they take an Apache helicopter out and they lob a missile over to kill a Palestinian terrorist a suspected Palestinian terrorist. They don't bring them to trial, they just kill them. Okay, but it's the same thing. This is, you know, when they asked Timothy McVeigh, you know, why did you do this? How about the civilians? And you know what McVeigh says about the civilians? What does he say? McVeigh was in Iraq, was in Gulf War I. What does he say? Tell me this.
How does he
rationalize the civilian deaths?
You want to know what Timothy McVeigh said?
No. No, it's not funny. I, no, this is serious. how does he rationalize the civilian deaths?
What did he say? I can't even remember.
He says they were collateral damage.
Yeah.
Okay. Now.
But then you want to hear what he said?
What?
You know what he said after that?
Yeah, what? It's not funny.
Okay.
It's not funny. I'm trying to make a point that.
I gotcha. Yeah.
Killing civilians is the moral equivalent of terrorism.
Absolutely.
There's no difference.
Yep.
Morally. Okay? When you kill civilians, and when you know you're going to kill civilians, that is a morally equivalent to an act of terrorism. It is wrong. It is evil. And you know, I don't understand. You know, there's some things that Kerry is not saying that he should be saying about the war, and I've written them down. One, the war is a moral fucking atrocity, and I want him to bear responsibility for his mistake. He voted for this war. Instead of apologizing, he rationalizes his decision. Not only rationalizes, but he says if he were to do this again.
Are you talking about Kerry?
I'm talking about Kerry. If
why you gotta be on Kerry's ass every fucking show?
You know why I have to be on Kerry's ass? Because this blood is on him.
Dude, bullshit, dude. George Bush is the one who ran this fucking through Congress while everybody was wrapping a flag. I say the same
thing. What do you mean he ran it through Congress.
Everybody was fucking all like choked up and bitter and angry, and you can get the public to fucking buy anything after those buildings went down, and he did it. Who cares? Do you know
what? I care a lot. Kerry
will have a plan to get us out of there.
No. He has no plan whatsoever. First of all,
we probably just fucking walk out. Who cares?
There's no plan whatsoever.
I'd rather just walk out.
This war is going to continue.
We're going to have to call a Wilson on them ashes,
you know,
and walk out.
If Kerry gets elected, this is not going to go away.
No, it's not going to go away, but
this
it's just going to get worse.
This war is
Satan wins.
It's going to get worse. It's not going to be won. And here's some other things.
There's nothing we can do about it.
Well, no, there is something we can do about it. We could apologize for voting for the war. Okay, and we could say it was a mistake.
Dude, you know what? Sadly, that would fall right into the Republican accusations of flip-floppage and all that bullshit, and it wouldn't win him any votes. The most important thing is getting Kerry into office because he's not George Bush. Okay? That's the important thing.
You know, that's, again... On the very first show, I said my theme was hold your nose and vote. Well, you know, a man like John Kerry, I'm still saying that, but a man like John Kerry is really hard because it's some fucking a rank stench, okay? You know,
do you know what's cute about you is you're an idealist. You really, believe in the tooth fairy.
Why do you think?
Because you somehow believe that the presidential candidate is going to have lived his entire life making correct moves at every turn. By the time he gets there,
I don't understand. Hold on, I want you to tell me why Nancy Pelosi knew that this war was. She didn't vote for this war. She knew this was a bad war. Why Ted Kennedy knew it was a bad war. I can't remember his name now. Bonnie Frank said knew it was the wrong thing. And we don't even have access to intelligence. Both you and I knew this was wrong. Nancy Pelosi and Ted Kennedy.
You know, every time you talk about this, I want you to get somebody from fucking Kerry's campaign online and ask them. Why don't we just pick up the phone and call?
Let me tell you. You know something? I already did this, and let me tell you what happened.
Did you really?
Yes.
You called the Democrats.
No, I didn't do that, but I did something along those lines. Let me tell you what happened. Moore had a petition out, and the petition went as follows. Moore actually doesn't. I'm gonna bring this up maybe, but the petition went as follows. It said, if you vote for this war, he says, sign this and send it to your congressman. If you sign this, if you vote for this war, I will never vote for you again. Okay? In retrospect, it was a terrible idea. But so-called idealists for me, like me, who sent the letter, who signed this petition, said to Kerry, I'm serious. Vote for this war.
You signed the petition?
I signed, and you know something? I'm not voting for him. I can't.
Well, I happen to know what city you live in, and he's going to take that state. So it doesn't
what
matter.
What are you going to do? You know, he doesn't give a shit about it. He's trying to appease the center.
You know, and that's what's wrong with our democracy. What's wrong about our democracy is that your vote in your count in your state doesn't give a shit, and my vote in my state doesn't give a shit.
That is. That's true.
That's wrong. We should have a democracy.
No. Hold on here. This is not the fault of democracy. This is the fault of the electoral college.
Absolutely. No, it's bullshit. We got to go to one vote, one person, baby.
We don't elect out. This is really not democratic.
It is not really democratic. We need to go to the one vote, one person. We need to just fucking have them put it on the line.
Well, you know something? After all this shit went down the last election, okay, where Gore won the popular vote.
That's right.
You know, and I know at least one congressman in my state that proposed a bill that, you know, to do away with the Electoral College. But, you know, what happened? You know, nothing. Status quo, business as usual. The Republicans need the Electoral College because
But they can't win a fucking election without it.
They can't win an election without the South. They need the South, and this gives the South all the power.
That's right. One person, one vote, though. I'm telling you.
That's the way it should be. That's democracy.
The South would not have won in that case.
So
to refer to that song.
You know, Kerry makes it very difficult for me to support him. I'm saying vote for Kerry. Hold your nose and vote. I can't personally do it, but Kerry, I mean, I can't say anything nice about him because there really is.
What's that hideous noise, dude?
It sounds like you're pouring yourself a drink or something like that.
No, not that noise. That's not a hideous noise. That's just water. I keep hearing some scraping sound on your end.
Oh, okay. I may have been shaking. I typically tap my feet. Drives my mother crazy.
Well,
okay.
You should remind her
to
step on you.
We're going to go to the very last short segment.
All right.
Now, I saw Bush on the news a few days later. This was a few days after this thing in the Herald that I was talking about. And he's talking this shit about, you know, he was asked by the reporter, you know, what are your feelings about the war and all that, blah, blah, blah. And he's saying, well, he's protecting the homeland, you know. And I'm sorry, but I don't see how.
Who was being interviewed? I'm sorry, I went to
sleep. Bush.
And he said he was protecting the
homeland. Yes, he said,
one of the things he said
was, I'm protecting the homeland. Now, I don't understand how illegally occupying a country and killing and torturing its people protect the homeland. I don't get it, man.
Oh, no, do you want to hear something about this?
Yeah.
Talk about protecting the homeland.
Go ahead.
Today, I learned there's one guy out here in my miserable state of Utah who sends out these emails called No Bush. Are you on that list, by the way?
No.
The No Bush newsletter thing or whatever?
No, but I am on.
Thing, I know that.
Yeah.
This is different than that. But anyway, today's message, which I normally don't even read them because it's like, hi, I already hate him, so why do I need to read all this crap? But this one was, and it scared me. It scared me. There are like 316 factories producing not exactly biochemical terrible shit, but chemical factories out there. And this one guy decided to drive around to them and do a kind of a documentary. The guy, anyway, he's actually got a camera crew and by himself, and he's able to walk up to the storage tanks, stand on them, jump on them. They've got videotape of him going, gee, I wonder what it would take for me to get arrested. No guards at the gate.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Right.
These
right.
could be sites for terrorists,
yeah.
and yet...
So much for
and yet
homeland
the,
fucking
yeah,
security.
Exactly, and you want to know why? Because we don't want to regulate big business. If we regulate big business, oh, no, that's not Republican.
No.
So it's
no.
it's total hypocrisy. It's absolute insanity. I agree.
And it's evil. No, let's not forget that. We are a religious show. You
that's
know,
right, we're a religious
first,
show.
You know, we are a the first order of business is religion, and that's morally fucking outrageous. I can't think of a better phrase to use.
I would like, frankly, to do this a little bit earlier, to call up the Dems in the area just to settle this thing once and for all.
Well, we could talk about doing that. We could talk about doing
yeah,
that.
Please,
one of the,
yeah.
Here's one of the problems of doing that. We can't record it.
You
unless
can't,
we
you
have their...
Behind, I'm broadcasting.
Unless,
can
no,
we,
no. Unless we have the express consent, we cannot record the call.
God, you're such a wuss. You're,
but,
you know, Moses
you
led
know,
the people out of the Promised Land. You parted the Red Sea with your faith alone that God would protect you, and you are afraid of recording someone without their
dude,
no.
We are probably on Ashcroft's shit list at, right now.
You know what?
I am
much more patriotic than John Ashcroft and George Bush. I am an absolute patriot, and I dare not say anything.
I know
love
that.
This country. Do you want to know why I love this country? May I may this for a moment?
Go
I
ahead.
Love this country
Go
because
ahead.
The lights work. I love this country because the roads are paved. I love this country because everybody has the opportunity, at least, to learn how to read, and maybe I've got blinders on, but that's the way I see it, and I love this country because generally, by and large, you can get onto a bus in this country full of 8 different shades of people, and you know what? We're going to nod and wink at one another 9 times out of 10. Sure, we have our problems, but this is a beautiful fucking country on the face of the earth, and maybe God did create it, honest to God, because we really got something going. I love this country, and I'm saying that on the radio to just say, John Ashcroft, if you're listening, find somebody who loves this country more than I do. I do not like our present regimen, whether, you know, like the fucking gulag people in the White House. What do you call that? Administration.
The evil motherfucker. If you can't find the word, just go evil motherfucker.
But I do.
That's
I like this country because, you know, for 3,000 miles, I can go places. I could, I love our food. I love our culture.
I respect that.
You know, I love a lot of things. I love our museums. You know, sure, everybody hates us on the planet. Well, you know what? We can work on that by getting George Bush out of office. Anyway, enough of that.
No, I think you were really saying some good things. Okay. I just want to make one more point. If we're to call Bin Laden, Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, and Charles Manson murderers, even if they were never accused of personally killing anyone, we must, by definition, call George Bush a murderer. Bush, John Kerry, and all the chicken shit appeasing Democrats in Congress are all collectively responsible for the murder and torture in Iraq. And you know what? This is choreographed. I'm going to add something to that. You, the listeners that sit by and listen and don't speak out and don't start your own radio show or don't hook up with some fucking protest group, you're all guilty. If you're not with us, you're against us. Okay? So just remember that, you motherfuckers. Okay. That's it, man. I mean, this has been some show. I mean, I'm exhausted. It's like we went for like an hour, 24 minutes, but I just feel like, wow, I just felt like I read it like an Edward Bunker novel. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Wow, I'm wiped out. I've had emotional, it was an emotional roller coaster.
Was that, do you mind if I say something about our medium here?
Go ahead.
Because I checked out our medium the other night.
As much as you want.
Listen, about Live 365, okay, you're listening to the show now. What's going to happen is that we're going to end. He's going to do his little cute closing thing, which I always think is cute.
Jesus, I can't even fucking keep talking because I can't find that.
You better find it, cause, and it better be good and different. I think that if you do a really cute thing at the end of the show, it might make people listen. Like there's that Graham Norton, and he does his stand-up thing at the end, and it's, you know, not that I watch television.
Could you help me with a better intro? Do you want to write one for me?
I don't give a shit.
I'm talking about the clothes
is good. When you thank everybody. And
what's your point? You would think I need a better intro or what?
No, I want a better clothes, a different clothing every time so that people will listen.
It's slightly different today.
Okay, but what? And I think you should thank Bill, too.
Well, okay. No, I do want to thank him. Thanks
okay,
a lot
good.
For...
Now,
for
hold on.
You know something? Let me just say, Bill, send me an email. Get it through Chris. Or I'll go to...
Say your damn email right now. Tell the people.
Yeah, talkwarrior.com. You can send me an email.
What is it?
I don't actually... I think it's dickie@emailtome.com. But you know something? There's a link. I'm not exactly sure. There's a link to it. There's a link right on the right side, you know, like send...
Send email to the top.
Yeah. I mean, it's like obvious. It's right there.
Okay, I'm just saying one thing. After we close this thing, Live 365 is going to get advertising. It will, because I've listened now. And I know what happened.
Who's it going to give advertising?
No, it does. You haven't even listened to like different programs.
Oh, Live 365.
Yeah, Live 365. You know,
they've been advertising from day one, those motherfuckers.
Yeah, I know. Except, so they'll let you broadcast for like 1 hour 45 without, you know, stopping. But then as soon as this tape stops, they'll throw up this ad. And I just realized, oh, my God, they are making money off
of... They're bloodsuckers because they're getting you too... They're like stockbrokers.
They force you to pay to broadcast, and then they charge people to pay to listen.
Right.
Jeez.
They're bloodsuckers, man.
But they're brilliant.
They're like stockbrokers. They get you on the buy, and they get you on the sell.
It's amazing. So I don't know what you could do.
And you know, as a matter of fact, they stick you on like the 13th fucking page in the index.
That's sad. I looked through that whole thing, but I found something really interesting, which I'm not going to talk about. But there's some interesting shows in the talk area.
That show you were talking about, I had terrible audio quality, but it made me feel, like all warm inside, like it just had, two Valiums.
Yes, I listened to it for like 40 minutes, and I just,
it was blushing
good. Wasn't that great?
Let's give out the fucking,
all right, sorry.
Tell the station.
Their station?
Yeah.
Now, are you serious?
Give the URL. What's the big deal, man?
It's... I don't want to.
All right, fine.
I don't want to.
All right. Okay. We respect confidentiality on this show.
If anybody wants to know, they can email the Dickie address.
Right, and I'll pass it on to Riz.
Yeah.
All right. Boy, what a show.
What a good show.
Hour and a half.
Wow.
I think this is definitely the best show ever.
The first show about Angelina Jolie's vagina was even better, though.
You know, this show is, you know, that was okay if you're a 13-year-old, the one about the Angelina Jolie's vagina.
I am a 13-year-old.
For like, a guy's, excuse me, plural, pushing 40,
yeah.
This is a much better show.
All right.
All right, man. Boy, I'm sad to even say goodbye.
Okay.
It'll be a whole nother week.
See, I'm looking forward to hearing the closing, though.
Oh, yeah? You forget. You're waiting for me, right?
I am. I like it.
Let me have some wine.
I think you should drink more.
Oh, jeez. I can't. I'm like, I killed off a whole bottle of Zinfandel. And I'll tell you what happened. It was like a funny story. I never drink wine. But before the show, I'm like, I don't know how to get the fucking cork off, man. And I'm like, oh, motherfucker, and the show's going to start like in 30 minutes. I'm going crazy. I'm like, I can't do the show sober. Help me, God.
sun opener or something. They have a corkscrew, dude.
Well, I did have a corkscrew, but it didn't work. And I'm pushing it down. I'm, like, forcing the thing back.
Yeah, they do that with, like, a butter knife. I used to have to do that.
Yeah, I tried, after, like, I had
a butter knife, right?
Yeah. I switched to it. It was too big. I switched to a steak knife.
Yeah.
It's like, I got, like, two-thirds of the cork out, but it's, like, one-third of it, it just stuck in there.
Oh, you were actually trying, so then you had to push it down. But then, and then there's, like, a force of physics. You can't push that cork any lower because the volume.
I don't know the physics of it. I'm like a wine illiterate. I don't understand it. I drink beer, you know. But it's like it was driving me crazy, and I felt like I needed a Valium. It's like oh help me God, give me some wine. But anyways, so I like to credit Woodridge. No, I won't credit the wine.
You are drunk. You got drunk during the hour.
Okay. All right, let's get back to the hour.
All right.
Okay. Here we go. I need some more water. I'd like to thank Riz for being on the show today. Thank you, Riz.
You're welcome.
This show is dedicated to the true American heroes, the homeless, and the working poor. The vast majority of these people do not have the privilege to listen to internet radio because they can't afford a computer and are too busy being fucked by capitalist vermin and the mean-spirited people of America and the rest of the world. I also dedicate this show to all people around the world who fight against fascism and imperialism. Last of all, I dedicate this show to the God of my original father, Abraham, who gives me the energy and courage and strength to fight evil. This show is a copyrighted broadcast of the TalkWarrior.com radio network. And it may not be rebroadcast or distributed without the express written consent of the TalkWarrior.com radio network. We'll see you again next week at Sunday, 7 o'clock Pacific time. Please see our website, TalkWarrior.com, for updated information about the show. Okay, I'll see you later. Goodbye.
Bye.
Okay.